Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamminini.
And I am James Marino from Broadway Stars.
Today on Broadway episodes are generally anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes long, sometimes less, sometimes more.
Sorry, Kerr.
But they take a couple of hours to produce every day for me and James, so I think it is only fair that we ask all of you lovely, intelligent, theatrically-minded listeners to spend 1 minute doing us a favor. Go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating, the more stars the better, and a review. As Broadway Radio moves from one weekly podcast to a network of a dozen or so shows, that 1 minute of your time will go a long way in helping other like-minded theater aficionados find us. We'd really appreciate it. Okay, James, bring on the news.
All right, the biggest announcement ever in the history of the world, and it doesn't have the word Hamilton in it.
It didn't until you said the word, but it feels a little odd, James, discussing the personal lives and menopausal status of theater stars, but I don't think there's any way to start this episode other than with the news that six-time Tony winner Autumn McDonald and her husband Tony nominee Will Swenson announced today that they were expecting their first child together. In a statement, Audra said, "Who knew that tap dancing during perimenopause could lead to pregnancy? Will and I are completely surprised and elated to be expecting a new addition to our family." McDonald has a daughter and Swenson has two sons, all from previous marriages. As exciting as that announcement has been for the entire theatrical community, and the social media responses have been fantastic. Bravo, Broadway Twitter. It does have a lot of wide-reaching impacts on a number of projects for McDonald. In the statement, it was announced that Audra's West End run and Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill would be postponed until a later date, and Audra will now remain in shuffle along until July 24th when her maternity leave begins. The record-breaking star had previously been scheduled to depart the show on June 20th to head across the pond for Lady Day. In her absence, Grammy winner Rhiannon Giddens will step into the role of Lottie Gee. If you are unfamiliar with Giddens, as I was until this announcement this morning, she graduated from the Oberlin Conservatory where she studied opera, but she is now the lead singer, violinist, and banjo player for the country, blues, and old-time music band Carolina Chocolate Drops, with whom she won a Grammy for Best Traditional Folk Album for their record Genuine Negro Jig. I do not believe that she has any professional theater experience in my research, but we'll include a link to one of her performances in the show notes if you want to check her out. Now, James, that wasn't the only news to come out of this major shuffle-along press release today. Apparently, while McDonald is gone, the show's choreographer and perhaps the greatest living tap dancer, Savion Glover, will be joining the show. According to reports, a role won't necessarily be created for him, but they will find a way to feature him prominently while he is in the show. You know, James, casting news is always exciting. We had a bunch of it yesterday, and sometimes it's even a bit surprising. But it is safe to say that this is nowhere near what I thought we'd be talking about today. But nonetheless, congratulations to Audra, Will, and their entire family. I echo everything that the entire theatrical community has said, and we expect a Tony nomination for this child sometime by 2030.
Oh, you stole Adam Feldman's line from Time Out New York.
Adam, what did he say?
Adam Feldman's headline says, "Audra McDonald has a presumptive 2035 Tony winner in the oven."
Well,
I heard about the news, and I swear to you, a split second later, it was posted by Adam Feldman.
Well,
hysterical.
I beat Adam Feldman by 5 years. I said 2030 when the kid's about 14 rather than than 19. So I win. Sorry.
If he introduced him to Savion, then he could be the tap dance kid.
There you go. That sounds like a revival's in the works.
And I don't remember if I talked about Shuffle Along on Today on Broadway. Did I? I know I talked about it on This Week on Broadway, but
no, we haven't talked about it on Today on Broadway, but you guys did review the show on Sunday's episode.
So I saw Shuffle Along on Saturday, and the short and long of it is that on Today on Broadway, I said that Hamilton is no longer a lock.
Really?
I think Shuffle Along is that good.
Wow.
Just
and with all of the
incredible.
With all of the issues that it reportedly had during previews, that's pretty impressive to say. Obviously, with that team, both on stage and off stage, that's not a surprise. But that's great to hear. That's really exciting.
I'm blown away. And Billy Porter got ripped off. Brian Stokes Mitchell got ripped off. Audra got ripped off. Just amazing show, amazing performances. And now that Savion's going into it, I'm going to have to see it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very all right. Cool. So Matthew Perry, Chandler Bing.
He's coming back to New York, James.
He is.
Yeah.
Central Park?
No, not Central Perk, but as part of their 2016-2017 season, the MCC Theater announced that TV star Matthew Perry's play, The End of Longing, which is currently running in the West End, will have its U.S. debut next summer, running from May 18th through June 24th of 2017. The show, which will again be directed by Lindsay Posner, as it is in London, will mark Perry's New York City playwriting and stage debuts. However, he does play Oscar Madison in the latest sitcom version of The Odd Couple, so I guess there's that. Also part of MCC's new season will be the world premiere of Neil LaBute's one-person show, All the Ways to Say I Love You, which will star the incredible Judith Light and will be directed by the equally incredible Lee Silverman.
All right, so showcasting and announcements. What's happening over at Encores?
Yesterday, New York City Center's Encores Artistic Director Jack Vertel announced the three shows that will make up their 2017 season, starting with Roger Miller's Tony-winning Big River, which will run from February 8th through the 12th. Then from March 22nd through the 26th, we will have Cole Porter's Prohibition-era musical comedy, The New Yorkers. And finally, from May 10th through 14th, the season will wrap up with a reinvention of epic poems, The Iliad and The Odyssey, entitled The Golden Apple, which played Broadway briefly and is by John Latouche and Jerome Morose. James, these, you know, between Big River and The New Yorkers, those seem to be a little different than what Encores normally does, especially Big River trying to do scores that we don't hear very often. Does that seem a little odd that Big River's a part of this season to you?
Not if you're trying to remount something to bring it to Broadway.
Well, it's been a couple decades since the Deaf West production. I guess that makes sense. But, you know, we hear Peter Felicia often complain about how Encores is supposed to be about reviving scores that we don't hear very often. While The New Yorkers is not necessarily one of Cole Porter's biggest shows, Cole Porter's music is heard a lot in a lot of different places. Obviously, The Golden Apple, I've never even heard of it. So that
I want to tell you, the theater nerds out there are freaking out.
About The New Yorkers?
About Golden Apple.
Oh, really? Right.
So,
I guess I'm not a big enough nerd.
Seth Christenfeld posts on a Facebook, Encores is doing The Golden Apple next season. This is not a drill. And Kurt Lockhart went, yay! And Jennifer Ashley Tepper said, screaming. And Len Schiff said, that's a great choice. I tell you, I'm sure that Peter Felicia is dancing a jig right now.
Yeah. Well, this seems right up the alley of what Encores is meant to do. And with all of those really intelligent people who are saying this is a good one, I guess I'm going to have to go download the cast recording as soon as we're done.
All right. Let's head out to the Muni.
The Muni is always a great place to go. And last month, we told you about the initial casting for the summer season down in St. Louis. And yesterday, a few more names were added into the mix. Broadway stalwart PJ Benjamin, who has played the Wizard of Oz and Wicked on Broadway and on tour in six different runs, will take on that exact same role, but this time in The Wizard of Oz down at the Muni. He will be joined by Kevin Cahoon as the Scarecrow. The Wizard of Oz will run from June 13th through 22nd. Also, we learned that Elena Shadow will play Marion Peru in The Music Man from July 5th through the 11th, opposite the previously announced Hunter Foster. Coincidentally, Elena was Kelly O'Hara's standby in The Bridges of Madison County, playing Foster's character's wife, Francesca. The pair will be joined by Todd Bonapane as Marcellus. Coincidentally, Todd, who has appeared on Broadway in Cinderella, Chicago, Grease, and Spelling Bee, just launched a new podcast called Broadway Stories. If you haven't listened to it yet, you really should. It's totally different and absolutely great. The Muni also announced casting updates for 42nd Street, Young Frankenstein, Mamma Mia, and Aida, including Broadway favorite Jason Gotye, who will be playing Sky in Mamma Mia. So we will have a link to the full casting updates on BroadwayRadio.com. Also on Tuesday, we learned that film star Jude Law would be joining the world premiere stage adaptation of the 1943 Italian film Obsession, directed by Ivo Van Hove. I know, James, he's everywhere. Yes, the show, which will play London's famed Barbican Theatre, will be part of a residency in which Van Hove will direct four shows. The Italian film Obsession is based on the classic novel The Postman Always Rings Twice, the source material for the Lana Turner film of the same name. And finally, yesterday, on the day of the show's first preview, the Public Theater announced that they were extending the new musical, The Total Bent, from the Passing Strange team of Stu and Heidi Rodewald. The show, which opens on May 25th, will now play through June 19th. So congratulations to everybody over at The Total Bent.
All right. The Dramatists Guild, takes us to school.
Not necessarily us, but more specifically Charles Isherwood. Last week, just days after the Drama Desks announced that they were eliminating the award for Best Book of a Musical, only to quickly course correct on Monday, the New York Times theater critic Charles Isherwood wrote in an article about this year's Tony nominations, "I do find it slightly puzzling that Hamilton was nominated in the Book of a Musical category, since the show is almost sung through." Needless to say, many theater fans found the comment odd, considering the discussion that had been taking place over the previous weekend in the community about the importance of a musical's book writer. Well, today the Times published a letter to the editor from Doug Wright, the president of the Dramatists Guild of America, in which he includes quotes from some of the art form's greatest writers about what a book writer does for a show. The letter includes statements from James Lapine, Marcia Norman, Craig Lucas, David Lindsay Abaire, and Alan Menken, but the most damning statement, in my mind, came from Terrence McNally, who wrote, "To underestimate the contribution of the librettist is to fundamentally not understand how a musical is made." Wright ends the letter saying, "Book writers are fond of mordantly observing that if a musical is a huge success, the book is rarely acknowledged. But if it's a catastrophic failure, the book is almost always to blame. While it's true that audiences rarely leave a musical humming the story, woe betide the show that lacks an engrossing, artfully structured one." James, we've kind of talked about this. I had my say when we were talking about the Drama Desk, so I won't reclimb that soapbox. But when that original statement came out from Isherwood, it was shocking to me and to a lot of people that something so fundamentally basic to a lot of our understanding of what a musical is seems to have passed Isherwood by.
I've got absolutely nothing to say. I don't understand how this guy could be the number two guy at the Times, reviewing theater in New York, and say something like that.
Well, and then how it got past an editor and everyone thought that was okay. I don't get it. But apparently it's not the only thing that people don't understand about who makes a Broadway musical. Because sticking with that theme, the Wall Street Journal's Pia Catton explains the job of Broadway orchestrators, since she seems to think that no one really understands what they do either. So not she does a good job of explaining it. I'm not putting her in the same boat as Isherwood in this, but she does a really good article, which we'll link to in the show notes as well.
Yeah, it's a great article. I encourage anybody who enjoys musicals to read this, because there's so much magic that happens from the orchestrators. All right. So Riedel takes his digs at Madison Square Garden.
He does. I'll get to that part of the story in a second. But James, 2016 isn't the first time that the Tonys have been bounced from Radio City Music Hall and have had to set up shop at the Beacon Theater. However, this is the first time that they've had to do so with Hamilton up for nearly every award of the night. Riedel is reporting in his New York Post column that invitations for the Tony Awards went out earlier this week, and that recipients were limited to two tickets at, get this, $1,750 apiece, not including the Tony Gala at the Plaza, which will cost another $495 a pop. He also wrote that the invitation included a disclaimer that read, "Not all orders are guaranteed to be filled." Of course, as you mentioned, in pure Riedel fashion, he has to find a way to make it a little bit extra scandalous by insinuating that Madison Square Garden president James Dolan, who was a producer on Finding Neverland last year, might be enjoying the fact that the MSG-owned Radio City Music Hall is causing so many problems for the theater community that snubbed his little show last year. However, based on how he runs the Knicks into the ground,
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, with knowing that, I don't give Dolan much credit for being able to have that much perspective about how all this stuff comes together. Obviously, Riedel also mentioned that since Hamilton is expecting to win every major award in the Tonys this year, other new musicals are finding ways to capitalize on nominations now rather than waiting till after the Tonys, since it's unlikely that they'll get a post-award season bump.
I'm telling you, shuffle along. I think it's going to be read a few more times than we expect.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, I think there's something to be said for bucking the expectations, but it just seems like this is such a big juggernaut. I don't know how everyone can't be swept up by the excitement about this show. And, you know, as hard as it is to get tickets, those Tony voters might really appreciate how special they are to have the opportunity to see it for free.
So a date to the Tony Awards would cost somebody $3,500 to walk in the door, and then another grand for the party, $4,500 for the evening.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And did you know that when like a production wins a Tony Award, like Best Player, Best Musical, the Tony Awards provide 2 or 4 trophies?
Actual statues. And then you can buy the other ones.
Exactly. So the 74th producer, quote-unquote producer on a production, gets to buy them, and they're like $2,000 each or something like that, aren't they?
I'm not sure how much they cost, but I've read stories about how they have to buy them. But then they made a change a year or so ago, and one of our more informed listeners can probably correct us, but I think they made a change a couple years ago where they don't get the exact same Tony. They might just get the medallion, or they don't get the whole like spinny thing that the actual regular ones presented on the show are. There's something different about how they changed what award they actually are able to purchase a few years ago.
Really? Because I know some folks who have a few Tonys, and they're the exact replicas, but
yeah,
they must have been changed
recently. Yeah,
this
just happened
recently.
A couple years ago. Absolutely.
All right. So if you know any of that information, email Matt or email me and let us know at matt@broadwayradio.com or james@broadwayradio.com. Matt, get us out of here.
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter @BWWMatt. And subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We'll have a new episode coming out in the next day or so that talks a lot about this theatrical season. So check us out.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and Broadway Stars. Thank you so much. Please get to the iTunes store and rate us. We really need it. And we will talk to you tomorrow.